Good morning, from here anyway.
Hey guys.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the problem was there. I think it was on the Hyperledger side.
I'm sending the agenda here.
You. Looks like recording's in progress, and we've shared the agenda in the chat so we can get started. Maybe if, let's maybe just send a note and say, Zoom link is working now. Just send that out and we can roll. I will share my screen.
I can take some notes, Grace.
That'd be great. Thank you. Great. Housekeeping antitrust notice. Please follow the antitrust policy. This meeting is being recorded. Please mute unless speaking. Looks like everyone's doing that. Great. And feel free to use the raise hand feature. Besides that, so general announcements, it seems. So we have the CIP program where we need to go ahead and document our mainnet contributors. It looks like Hart just provided an update that there's going to be a essentially there's going to be a Hyperledger sub-organization to handle the grant money because Hyperledger itself isn't set up to handle the grant money, so they're finally setting it up. It's taken a little while, but it looks like it's making progress there. And then the one thing is the main activity log. So I just wanted to, looks like someone renamed it. Maintainer org. So it looks like Sal, the team, it looks like everyone's already kind of filled this out. Is there any questions or anything that we need to, or anyone not know what this is or want to include themselves or thinks they need to update this?
Yeah, I
I don't
need
know
to
who.
add mine to. This is Justin. I haven't added mine yet. I'll do that as soon as I can.
Cool. Okay, great. Yeah. Now I'm looking through it. It looks like, yeah, if you don't mind, that'd be great. But otherwise, looks like more or less, if there's anyone who's not on the call or who you think are missing from this, please just, give them a friendly reminder to fill this out because we just want to make sure that we're, this is H1 2022 to be clear, so through July 1st. Just want to make sure that we're giving everyone credit where credit is due. Awesome. Thanks to everyone who already did this. This is looking really good. And then I will go back. There are no questions on that. Release updates. So I know the RC1 for 2022.7.0 was delayed. I know Dano is out. I did see a few questions. Are we, what is the latest? It looks like it's delayed because of this. Have we rescheduled this? I know I was looking around, but I'm not sure I saw that.
Yeah, I think we're aiming for this week. I don't think that we've actually put a date down. Last we talked about it in Discord, we were thinking this Wednesday, so tomorrow. I know we have lots of good stuff that's gone in over the last week. So I definitely think we should get something out. I wouldn't mind doing one today, just so we have an official release that has the Sapolia settings baked into it. But if that's too much of a rush, tomorrow's fine too. The Sapolia merge is tomorrow, early
Oh,
morning.
okay. Okay,
So
so.
Sally wrote on, I think it was Discord, that she would do it so her Wednesday, so in a few hours or something like this.
Yeah, it looks like this
Okay.
evening and she's on point. This evening, East Coast, sorry. Yep.
That should be fun then. Great.
It's like, yeah, it looks like they pushed Dano back. Great, great, great. Okay. Next up. I'm not sure who put this one in, but
I put this. I can give some context. We have some tests from the EF. They are called Hive tests, and one of them in the end is testing if all the clients are compatible on certain API calls. And for one of the tests, we are failing. Because for a transaction, we return two extra fields. So they are not part of the spec. So the one is a public key and the other one is raw, which is like the RLP encoded transaction. There was some discussion on the EFR&D Discord. So I can maybe summarize. So there was a light client, the creator of the test, in the end, he was in favor of only returning fields that are in the spec. His argument was that the client should be, or whoever runs the client should be able to treat it as a black box. So whenever I want to switch out the client, I should not need to care which client supports which field. And if everybody's following the spec, that's the case. If some clients have some extra fields and others not, I cannot do that anymore. Then Dano, because he cannot join today, he shared also his thoughts. His thoughts were that we should be able to have extra fields. His arguments were that the spec should not be, or is too soon for the spec to be frozen. So the client teams should have opportunity to make some improvement, to make some experiments, whatever. And that in the end, the test should ignore the extra fields. His proposal was that we could add a CLI flag or a configuration flag to, in the end, activate like a strict mode. So if we do this, then we only do what the spec says. So why I added this today to the call was, in the end, so we have two opinions that in the end both are valid. So I wanted to ask the others what they are thinking, in which direction we should go.
Just looking at the code, it seems that we are using the object like that. This object contains the fields. So when we are serializing this object, we have this field present, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure we are really using this field, but.
Yeah. I mean, so, The two options I see is in the end what Dano said. So we keep the default as it is right now. And afterwards we have like a config option to go to the spec, to the strict spec. I'm just not sure, thinking about it last night, I'm not sure if this makes sense, because would anybody really use this option to take things away just to follow the spec? So I don't know. The other way would be we change the default to only follow the spec, and we have a config option to add these two fields again for whoever needs them.
I think we are doing a RC. So RC is for breaking chain. So maybe mm-hmm. we can remove this field and to say if you still want this mm-hmm. field, you can use a new flag mm-hmm. or a new option. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I disagree with light clients on this one. I think you can still treat the client as a black box, even if it has extra fields in it. Like that's one of the big advantages of JSON, and it allows you to do, you know, migratory paths without breaking things if you need to update your APIs, right? So like you could roll out an additional field that people could slowly start adopting, and then you lock it into the spec later. Like if you don't have a way to do that, then everybody has to be lockstep in their upgrade path. And I don't really think that's warranted for the RPCs the way it is for the blockchain. So, I mean, as far as like, what do we do now to get us through the tests? Yeah, I think I agree with what Kareem suggested and just get rid of those fields for now, document it in the RC and maybe add them back in if people really are upset about it. But I don't know, I might, I might start a broader discussion with this on ETH R&D, because I don't know that I really like this as an architectural direction. Anybody else?
I think the spec has been loose in the past, and there's something to be said about having a spec that you can follow, and there's not going to be any surprises if you want to swap clients out, especially considering this is now execution clients are now more modular and part of a spec that's not monoliths anymore. I kind of agree with Light Client that I think that we should have a spec and stick with it, especially if it's going to be relied upon by consensus clients. I mean, how many weird things have we dealt with dealing with the WebSockets and Nimbus, because it's one of the few consensus clients that are using WebSockets. I think that there's value in conformity in this particular case because of how execution clients are now becoming more modular. I think that they're going to be more like Legos in the future.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I'm not actually arguing against the idea of spec. I'm just saying that, like, if there are fields that are returned that are not in the spec, that should not be considered a test failure. Like, I think that's the nature of JSON, right? It's free-formed. It's very, very, like, we're not using JSON schemas. If we are, then I would retract my argument, right?
I think we do have JSON. The RPC, there has been an effort over the last year to take the RPC, the ETH RPC spec, and put it into JSON schema. I believe there is actually a repo that's JSON schema for it.
So then I would say we should defer the tests that are effectively asking for that until that's widely adopted. That to me seems like the right way to do this. If you want to have tightly defined API responses, use the schema for it.
Yeah.
And then I guess we'll just have to introduce API versioning when we want to make changes, which is sucks.
Yeah, I think that what's unfortunate is, you know, there's going to be BESU users out there, private networks and so forth, that are going to have, they're going to be relying on these fields. It's just a given that if it's there, somebody's going to be using it. And how are we going to communicate this change out effectively? Yeah, it's probably a tempest in a teapot, but I'm on board with what Kareem said, where we have, as soon as we come have someone come out of the woodwork who says, hey, these fields used to be here, what happened to them? We can at least say, you know, we are conforming to spec, and you can use this flag to use the prior format for the fields that you might have been relying on.
I'm worried that that's going to be a lot of work. Is the only thing, like, going everywhere and then adding all these flags to check whether or not something is enabled. I think it could warrant a refactoring, you know, like, or MIME type support, right? You can throw in a MIME type that says, hey, conforms to spec or doesn't. And then I would hope that Vertex has some sort of, you know, serialization plugin system where you can plug in a different spec and it'll use different serializers to produce your output based on that MIME type or whatever it is. But what I'm worried about is that the value that we get out of this is much less than the cost it takes of going through all of our APIs and wrapping flags around all of the additional pieces of information that our users need.
Yeah, I think there's only a couple ones that were identified now, but yeah, I think this could be a minefield of things that, you know, we're slightly out of spec on.
So maybe step one is to actually figure out how bad it is. And if it's less than like a dozen things, don't worry about it. But if it's, you know, 50 things, then we might have to push back or do some refactoring to accommodate it.
Yeah, agreed.
So who can own the investigation of the, you know, how big of an impact is this?
I can own it, but I can't commit to any type of timeline just yet.
I think that's fine. It doesn't seem like it's urgent. It's important, but not urgent. It's just, and I think, does that sound about right? Like, we want to get this right. We want to be able to understand the impact, but it's not like this is a change that's happening in the next week or two.
But if we want to use RC to do this modification, we need to wait too much.
True.
I guess part of my ignorance, there's is there an, does this have to be done before the merge?
I mean, this isn't
have the hive tests. That's the short-term fix, right?
Well, these are different tests, though. These are RPC compatibility tests, which aren't the engine API tests. So,
right.
I mean, do we really have to pass these for the merge? I've not heard anybody say we do.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a good point, right? So in the past, in the recent past, there's been an expectation that all clients pass all Hive tests, but this is newly introduced. So we need to get some clarity on that.
Cool. What was your take on that, Daniel? In the conversations that you had, did anybody specify that these?
I don't think it's important for the merge. In the end, it's more a general discussion, you know, because in the end, the extra fields they don't hurt anybody. So if it takes longer for us, that's okay. Light Client said he wanted to be just kept up to date what we are going to decide, but that's it. So no time pressure.
Great. Okay. So I think that's helpful to know the timeline. It's, you know, and this isn't before the merge. Francesco, if you don't mind just like noting that, and then also noting that, you know, Justin will be on point to own the follow up on it, but we're not expecting to update the fields or anything pre-merge unless we are pleasantly surprised, you know, but it's not urgent in that sense. That'd be great. Any other comments on this? Cool, okay. I think that was a very productive conversation. Liveness check.
Yeah, this was also me. So I can give some context there. So when you run Bissu in a cluster, in the end, I mean, you don't check the logs by hand to see if your node is up and running and healthy or not, but you rely on some automatic system. And for doing this, we have two API endpoints. One is called Liveness, the other one is called Readiness. So the readiness is okay as we have it. The readiness is in the end, I want to know when the node is ready to receive a request. In our case, that's like when we are within two blocks of what we perceive is the chain head. So it means we are synced. So that's okay. The liveness is meant to be checked regularly. And this should indicate me when the node has a problem and needs a restart. This happened, for example, last week when we had this concurrency issue with Bonsai. Somebody was running Beso in a cluster and then the node got stuck, but the liveness endpoint said everything is all right. And the reason for that is that our liveness endpoint is a stub, so it always says everything is all right. So the question for me is now, do we want to do something more? Do we want to implement the proper one? And then the more is also not very easy to say what is liveness in our case. So when does a node really need a restart? Or when do we know a restart will really help the node? I don't know if anybody needs more context than this.
I mean, I've always used readiness like in a Kubernetes context as just this node is up and able to serve RPC traffic. Maybe it wouldn't readiness be a better endpoint to use when we are stuck? Wouldn't that be better to have that?
Yeah, I mean, I included this definition of liveness and readiness, how is defined by Red Hat. And at least there, the definition is readiness only when I start the node. So I query it only in the beginning. Then once the node tells me it's ready, I don't query this one anymore. As of this point, I would query liveness. So I mean, we can do that. It's just not how normally is how you use the endpoint, at least by this definition. Yeah, there was a comment from Adrian. So he said in his experience, liveness should only do that. So liveness should only respond, okay, whenever you call it. As I said, that's not what it says, for example, in the definition that is done by Red Hat. But yeah, I mean, the decision can also be in our case that we leave it like this, and that we say, okay, if you want to know if the node is healthy, refer to readiness.
I think if we're not live or we need a restart or something to that effect, I mean, it's kind of a difficult call to make, isn't it? That we're in a state that we can't recover from.
Yeah. I mean, that's also the thing. I mean, these nodes are normally used more for normal Web2 servers. So whenever, I don't know, my database connection fails, then I'm not live anymore. In our case, or in Bestu's case, I mean, it's very different because when, I don't know, to really realize that we are stuck is very hard because, I don't know, if we would have a database corruption or something like this, a restart would not even help because you would need to fix the database. So, I mean, that's the other thing. If really this endpoint makes sense, but if we decide it does not make sense, then maybe we remove it and we just say, okay, here is readiness. Because if not, it's confusing for people who are used to, or I mean, a normal user expects that the endpoint signals when something is wrong.
I'm probably in the minority. I don't know if I'm in the minority on this or not, but the eventual consistency platforms like Kubernetes, I just personally don't really think that blockchain clients belong in that space. So it's kind of hard to make a call about liveness and readiness because you've got a complicated life cycle that you're trying to manage with two dumb endpoints. And it just, I don't know. Kubernetes doesn't really seem like a great...
Yeah, that's one of those situations where we're using Docker containers, but we're not really using Docker ecosystems and terminology and tooling and all that other stuff that sits on top of it. I think I'm on your side, Gary, and Adrian's side, where I would say liveness is like, okay, you can make a socket connection and get some sort of response, and readiness might be like the chain head is progressing. I don't know. None of those are gonna tell you like, yes, a restart would fix this.
Yeah, and that's all the. I mean, I don't know what other container systems, Red Hat's special flavor of Kubernetes or whatever, but I mean, I think all I've ever seen is they can just restart it. That's generally all that can really happen. It seems like it would be difficult to programmatically give a strong signal that we should or should not be there.
Right.
Maybe there's some.
These things are operating in pods, like a microservices. Like a microservice will have a pod that has lots of different containers that are all a cohesive unit that operate together, and you can do more sophisticated, you know, stuff with them.
Yeah, load balancing or whatever.
We're never gonna have that.
And Fira would probably.
I mean, this was also that was brought up from Codify. They are running some staking service, so they are running a lot of validators, and then of course they want to know if one of these validators is down, because in the end you lose money if that's the case. So I mean, I see definitely the use case. It's just I also would not know how to have a proper liveness check in our case.
I think they're conflating self-healing with monitoring, honestly. I think what they really want is monitoring. If they want self-healing, that's not something we can do.
Yeah, then, I agree.
At least, I mean, what I would do is maybe to just make it clear in the documentation that liveness will always respond okay. So you cannot... you cannot rely on it to decide if you want to restart the node or not. Just to make it clear what the endpoint is for.
Because I think that seems reasonable and maybe we could push back to Codify and say, is, you know, what would you define as liveness? And if they have a great definition for liveness, we can consider implementing it. But
sounds like a Helen or Matt problem. Maybe they could help. I'll make a note of that.
So it sounds like this, I think this issue should, do we want to close it? Do we want to keep it open? But obviously we're not going to resolve it. We can go back to some consensus stakeholders, to be clear, to this audience, yeah, who run staking to get their feedback. But at this point, you know, we're kind of, for Francesco's point with the notes, you know, we think liveness is not quite the right way we want to be defining our checks, but we can follow up on the consensus side with a few internal teams.
I think we could at least close this with a documentation action. Like if our decision is to keep things as they are, we should at least be, like Daniel said, be clear about what the behavior is and not to expect too much from liveness, not to expect too nuanced of an endpoint for that.
Okay. That sounds reasonable to me. Daniel, can you own that action to close and add that update?
I will do that. So I will update the doc and then I close the issue. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Moving along, if there's nothing else on those. Just looks like broader merge update. Justin, you want to take this?
Sure. When last we spoke, let's see, I think we were getting ready to do mainnet Shadow Fork 7 and Robston. Shadow Fork 7 did not go so great. We experienced and I wrote this up. I'm pretty sure I posted it somewhere. I'll post it again. But I wrote up a detailed explanation of what happened and why it was such a catastrophe. It was the state root mismatch that we run into before. It was a known issue and it had been exacerbated. And the way that the symptoms presented, to use doctor speak, was much more pronounced and quick and happened right around the transition to proof of stake. The good news is that was because we had been making progress on it and we had figured out how to make the problem worse so we could observe it. And since then, we think we have found the root cause and a fix for that has been merged yesterday. Shout out to Kareem. He was really burning the candle at both ends, working really hard on that one. The whole team really worked really hard on that, but really appreciate that. That was, frankly, guys, that was kind of like a worst case scenario for me. That's the kind of thing I have nightmares about, is like a really subtle concurrency issue there that you can't reproduce. So the fact that we eventually found it and we think we've fixed it is something we should all be proud of, frankly. That's a really big, really big accomplishment. I wouldn't mind maybe sitting down once we have some distance on this and that we have seen that we're confident that this works, maybe doing a postmortem on how we worked the issue. So if something like this does happen again, we kind of have a playbook of things to analyze, data to add, where to look, logging statements that were added, kind of just sort of have a rubric that's ready for analyzing those issues. So anyway, back to the merge. Mainnet Shadow Fork 8 happened, I think it was last night, maybe this morning, I'm not sure. We did great on that. Everything proceeded past it. Everything kept up with the chain. We were running a mix of both Bonsai and Forest nodes this time to try and diagnose this issue. It has not presented yet. I'm keeping an eye on them, but so far so good. We are proposing bad blocks. So that's something that we need to take a look at. It does seem to be the Forest nodes, which is very unexpected. This is not something that would hurt the network. It would not, it might cause people to propose bad, Gary, to answer your question, at least as ForkMon has reported them as bad blocks. So we need to kind of look into that and figure out what's going on there. But the network is still progressing. We're not causing any problems on the network. Sepolia is happening next, like tomorrow. So that would be, I'm not sure what time. Here, there's a, if you go to bordel.wtf, you can see an estimate on where hash power is on the network and when it's going to supposedly tip us over to TTD and switch over to proof of stake. So that's the next thing for us to keep an eye on. But overall, I mean, I'm feeling pretty confident about our merge readiness. We still have some bugs to fix here and there, but nothing major, nothing life-threatening. And the progress that we made on the state root mismatch was pretty awesome. So I think that's where we're at for the merge. What kind of questions can I answer? Hive tests are a thing that we're still working on as far as being merge related, specifically with regard to the engine APIs. Those are plodding along. We're making good progress on those. What am I forgetting? I don't think I'm forgetting anything now.
I think with a couple of PRs from Daniel and Fabio, once those emerge, I think that basically we'll probably be passing more tests than any other execution client.
Well, I hope so, because Arrogant's talking smack on Twitter how they've got the most test pass. So let's go get them.
Well, they were 18 last I saw. What are they now?
I don't know.
Yeah, so right now the current status is with the PR, so including the PR that I opened today, we are down to 17 failing. There are 15 that are like all related, which Fabio is working on. I think he said he made there good progress. And then there are two more that are related, which I right now am working on. But yeah, we are quite close with maybe having all of them.
I can also give an update. So for the invalid chain reorg, there are at least 13 passing with the last PR. I'm working on the last two that need some more work.
Okay, then would be down to just 4 failing tests, actually.
Wow.
I just checked, and the lowest of any fails right now is 18.
Yeah. I think Aragon, they were at 16, but now they are back at 18, so they had some regression.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm also, let's say, opening an issue on Hive because some of our tests are flaky. They pass, but sometimes they could not start. I think because the test we try to read something before Besu is ready. So I'm hoping an issue. And so they can provide a solution for that.
So just to be clear, it just sounds like we're seeing how tomorrow goes. No action. No, you know, the release tonight will that Sally's running will feed into it, but no action at this point. One question that I realized I fell off of this, which I'm maybe don't know why, but because when you guys were talking about Aragon having, I guess, what was it, the least number of fixes? Sorry, least number of
tests.
Yeah, the engine API Hive test suite. There's 114 tests and no clients are passing them all. So it's a race to the bottom.
Ooh, that's exciting. Okay, well, if we do, please let me know and we will tweet that out everywhere. But the other thing I know we were kind of competing on was the, not competing on, but we were trying to get done before the merge was the security audit. And I don't see that on here. And just wanted to follow up on the progress there. I know it's been ongoing the last few weeks with Tavora. But I'm not sure if that's completed just yet.
I've seen some updates, but I also saw that one of the primary, the leads on it was on vacation. So it's not surprising that I haven't seen any updates lately. Honestly, I've been focused on the merge, but I have seen some progress and some action activity on that front.
When is it ending or supposed to end, if you don't mind me asking?
I've got to look. Give me just a minute.
No worries. Yeah. I just want to make sure we're ready if they provide, it makes sense. People are out of office, late June, early July, but just want to make sure if there is anything at the end, or we're just kind of making sure the end date lines up with our work too.
Yeah, I've got to do the authentication dance and so forth. So it'll take me a little bit to do that. We can circle back on it in a minute when I have some detail.
Yeah, no worries. Sounds good. Yeah, just realized that fell off. Any other merge updates though, or comments?
I think that's it. Next up, Sepolia, and then on to Gurley.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Great work, guys. Cool. Insights, we'll just do it. We have a little time, and I feel like we've skipped it a few times over. So we'll do just a quick run. If anything seems particularly exciting or different, let's do the last 6 months, see if there's any. We are computing trends for your pod. Just kidding. Guess we're not doing this today. Looks like it's not working. Okay. Womp. All right. Never mind.
Managed to pull up the most recent Tavora penetration testing status. Mm-hmm. And the target completion date is the 13th of July. Evidence review and documentation will begin on the 14th of July and run until August 8th. And deliverable is due on August 9th.
Okay. That's good to know. Do you need any help with that, Gary, or anything from the team to just make sure we're...
It's kind of been running on the side, I think. Yeah, it's, I haven't, other than the email updates that I've been seeing infrequently, I haven't really engaged with it terribly much. I've been interested to see what their results are.
Okay. So when they, let's just be sure whenever they do share their results, obviously we, we'll review as a base view team first, but feel free to share with the broader group too, or, feel free to lean on us if you need help, because it's a crazy month ahead. But it's exciting that it's done in the next couple weeks. Cool. Roadmap. So I know we talked about the optimistic support last time with Matt, and I think we kind of decided it wasn't super important, but a post-merge conversation, or it's important but not urgent. And then I think it was similar with the peer improvement node operations improvement. I don't think there's anything else to add there. We can look at the roadmap really quickly, though. Looks like this is that last updated June 7th, so it might be a little out of date, but just 22.7. Here we can see everything that's going on. Of course, Shanghai and the merge. And then, yeah, as we said, optimistic roll-ups will be kind of discussed further out. And then maybe the last thing, if no one has any questions or comments on the roadmaps updates. I didn't give them a chance to speak. Cool. Open forum. So it looks like we have the chit chat invite out, and it's every week after the contributor call. So feel free to jump in there as well and chat with friends or ask questions. Anything else the group wants to talk about? Cool. Okay. Well, go ahead.
No, just wanted to provide an update on the small discussion I had about the documentation, and it was in the previous contributor call in 7th of June, and the idea of moving to using GitHub discussion in addition to Discord and things like that. So sadly, we have no consensus yet. I don't really see a good reason to move forward with this. It was not a clear that some good arguments in both ways, but nothing very clear about a decision to make. So I'd like to let that rest a bit, and I will not move forward on this for the moment. Second thing is that Consensus sponsored the MKDocs material theme, which is the tool we use for the doc. And the guy who is doing this is very nice and doing a great job. And sadly, because it's sponsored by Consensus on the Consensus GitHub organization, we can't use this for Hyperledger because Hyperledger is a different organization. So I'd like to raise the question of having this sponsorship from the Hyperledger Foundation to this project too. It's something like $100 per month. It's less than what we pay for the Postman subscription that we barely use. So maybe this would be a nice thing to do. I guess I can check that with Rai. I don't know who's the best person in HL to check that.
Share that last bit again, Nico. You're asking, you want to reach out to someone in Hyperledger. I just want to clarify that last one.
Yep. Just to clarify how we can sponsor from the Hyperledger organization on GitHub on a project. So I don't know. The only person I have in mind is Rai, but I'd like to make sure if he's the right person for that.
Probably, but you can email communityarchitects@hyperledger.org. Rai now has at least one other team member that, so they're the right team to help you with that for sure.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Amazing. Thanks for everyone's time. See you on Discord.
Yeah.
Bye.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye.
See you. Bye.